chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we will begin reading the verse, the chapter rather. Proverbs chapter 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, we're not going to teach on that one, but that's one you ought to pay attention to.
That's right.
You know, you don't always have to answer in kind. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You know, we might look at these young kids that are here and say, you better pay attention, you better listen to your mama and daddy. But what about your heavenly Father? Something to think about. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. We just talked about that, didn't we? But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. That's a good one too. If we learned to mourn over our sins, we'd have a broken and a contrite spirit before God, and we'd see God do some wonderful things. You say, I wish I could know God like David did. Maybe you need to have a broken heart. Something to think about. The heart of him that understanding that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now, notice that there's two particular themes there in this chapter. One is the difference between the wise and the fool, which we've seen before. But here it is reiterating the cost of being foolish, that cost of not wanting to be wise, that cost of refusing reproof and instruction. So we need to understand that. But when we looked at this passage of Scripture, or when we read this chapter, we had one verse that actually that had significant overlap from the people that provided me the verses that did this exercise, and it was Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now, here's an interesting thought. This is something you need to pay attention to. Young people, I want you to think on this. I want you to sit up straight, and I want you to pay attention. It says that the Lord is far from the wicked. But the Bible tells us that God is omnipresent. That He's everywhere. In the book of Acts, Paul was preaching to the heathens in Athens, and he was talking about God, and he said, "In Him we live and move and have our being." And he said that He is not far from any one of us, every one of us. If you go over and read the book of Acts, and you'll find that, read Paul on Mars Hill as he's preaching there. And he tells these people this. But here it says, God is far from the wicked. Now what is he talking about? He's not talking about being physically distant from God. You know, in Psalms it says, if I ascend up in heaven, thou art there. Behold, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Alright? So there's no way to get away from God in the sense of it. So when it says that God is far from the wicked, he's saying that if you choose wickedness, God is not going to listen to you. And literally, God's not going to be there for you and have a relationship with you until you repent. Until you turn back. God puts Himself back. Mankind today, people don't understand what that means. People are always talking about, why doesn't God, if there's a God, why doesn't He just fix everything? If He really loves us, why doesn't He help us? But the truth of the matter is, they've said, mankind has said, we don't want God's Word. We don't want God's help. We don't want God telling us what's right and what's wrong. We don't want the Bible. You look at how our public schools have gotten so bad, and everybody's wringing their hands about the public school and the things that they're now letting in the public schools. Why? Because you kicked out the Bible. You kicked out prayer. You said, we don't want God. And you look at our society and the wickedness that's going on, and we're telling God, we're not going to have you to rule over us. We don't want your laws. We want to do what we want to do. We want to decide what's right and what's wrong. We'll tell everybody what's right and what's wrong. We don't want people to worship you. We want them to worship us. We want them, it's okay if they have their religion, but we want them to bow to the state. They don't want them to bow to God. And they may honor the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. God is far from the wicked. Why? Because their heart is far from God. And they said no, and God said, okay, if that's what you want, you can have it. And look what it's given us. You know, most of the time we talk about the judgment of God. God doesn't really have to do much in the way of judging. All he has to do is leave you to yourself. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thine own backsliding shall reprove thee. And that's the thing. So when it says God is far from the wicked, it's not that God's not accessible. It's not that if you turn back to Him, He won't hear you. It's just in your wicked heart, you've said, we don't want you. We don't want you near us. We don't want you. So that's what it's talking about there. So the Lord is far from the wicked. In Psalm 34:16 says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's the end of the wicked. Psalm 73:27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. And all those that are unfaithful to God, that go away from Him. Psalm 138:6, though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Have you noticed that all these things that the Bible condemns, that our society is jumping up and down for and celebrating and having months for and all this type of stuff? Have you noticed that their banner is a banner of pride? This is Pride Month for the Sodomites. And they're declaring their sin. They're saying, we're going to be proud of our sin. But while we sit there, and it's easy to look at those folks, but what about us? Are you proud in your sin? If you don't repent of it, you are. And you say, boy, God seems so far away. Well, the first thing to look is see if you've kind of pushed yourself away from Him. Are you harboring something? He's not very far away at all. He's right there. But you have to make the right choice. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Psalm 34:15-17, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Psalm 66:18-19, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. What does it mean to regard iniquity in your heart? What does it mean to regard iniquity in your heart? It means to give preference to hold on to. That's what it means. He's not talking about us contemplating our sins. That's not what he says about regard there. When you regard something, you kind of elevate it. You have an affection for it. You have a respect unto it. If you have regard for something, and when you and I are unwilling to call our sin what it is and desire it to be gone, and we don't want to admit that it's an offense to God, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. That's when we have trouble with our prayers, because, you know, and it could be anything. It might be some personal sin you have. It may be something in the case of, you know, you talk about marriage, for example. The Bible tells the husband to give honor unto his wife as unto the weaker vessel, right? And he says, if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. I mean, it could be something like that. It could be some sin that we have, or it might be just something in the family. You know, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. All those ones we don't like to hear, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. We could go on a heap of, we could go on a digging expedition and find a lot of things that we ought not regard in our heart. We ought not hold on to. We ought to see them for what they are. We ought to desire them to be gone. We ought to desire those things. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now, what does it mean to be righteous? What does it mean to be truly near to God? Well, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Amen. And if you go back, and let's turn over to Ephesians chapter... Oops, I just knocked my thing over. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is something that is extremely important that we pay attention to when it talks about being that. All right, when it talks about this, it says this. It says this here. It says in verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Now, if you're seated in heavenly places in Christ, you're right where God is. That's pretty close. And He says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So there's the picture there. Listen, no playing around, because this is important. There's the picture there, and there's the understanding. You say, "Well, you might say, "Well, I'm not so bad. I think I'm righteous." No, you're not. No, you're not. If you were, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And this is the whole point. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And you and I, if you've trusted Christ your Savior, the only righteousness you have is from Him. The Apostle Paul said that he said, "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ." So our righteousness is not good enough, and that's why we have to be saved. It's not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. That's why you have to put your faith and trust in Christ. And when you do that, when you believe that Jesus died for your sins, when you believe that He rose from the dead, and that His blood was shed in payment for your sins, then you are made near by the blood of Christ. You see, religion will not get you close to God.
That's right.
Religion will not make you righteous. You can come and sit in this church forever till the day you die, but until you heed the word of God and you judge yourself to be a sinner needing a Savior and believe that Jesus is that Savior, you will never be near God. Because it is only the blood of Jesus that can make you near to God. You look at the verse up there, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses. Jesus came and died to reconcile us to God, right? So how could you say that somehow you can get near to God any other way? There is no other way. And even as a Christian, and in the morning service we'll explore this more fully, but even as a Christian, the Bible says to us that we come into the presence of God, into the holiest of all, by the blood of Jesus, on the basis of that shed blood. There's no other way. There's no other way to be made near to God except by the blood of Jesus Christ. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, when it says that the Lord is far from the wicked, it's not that God has separated Himself in the sense that God has cut off the path. It's we that go away from God. And this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So the Lord's far from the wicked. Why? Because the wicked separates himself away from God. He doesn't want God. But the righteous, those who want the mercy of God, those who believe the promises of God, God answers their prayers. God hears their prayers. Just something I want you to think about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the Sunday school time. I'm dropping everything today. I just knocked my water up. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for each one that's here. Lord, pray for any who may yet be on the way. Pray that they have safe travels. And Lord, help us to realize that we have this great privilege of being near to You by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank You for that. And I just pray there's one that's lost today that they would realize that they can't rely on themselves or their own righteousness, that they must come to You through Jesus Christ. They must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's only the blood of Jesus that can wash away their sins, and it's only the blood of Jesus that can make them near to God. So Lord, I pray that You'd help them to understand it. And Lord, if they don't understand it, I pray that You'd work in their heart to where they would be willing to ask so that they could understand. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.